Welcome Steve Dangle to the program, host of the Steve Dangle podcast. You know that he's almost got 100,000 Twitter followers. And it's Steve, thanks for this. I haven't watched your video after yesterday's game yet, but I assume it's just high-pitched screaming, right?
Yeah, I gotta pace myself, man. It's game three. I'm gonna die. But not only have they been high-pitched screaming, but they've all been like 10 minutes or more. So yeah. I think maybe I need to pace myself, but I don't remember the last time they started 3-0.
Where are you going?
Where, like right now?
Yeah, yeah. You sound like you're on the move.
Oh, trapped on Bloor Street, oh, trying okay. to get to the DVP. It's a lot
thought,
of fun.
I thought you hung up after that. I was like, oh, I'm click.
I would never hang up on you guys.
Just hang up. Yeah, no, that game was fun. And you know what? It's funny that you bring up the pacing yourself, because I think that I've said a couple of times already on the show, but I do feel like it's a little bit like when the Blue Jays finally cracked back into the postseason in 2015. And then 2016, we came back and they opened up that series against the Rays, and everybody was just jamming into bars watching these games. What are you doing for the Blue Jays game tonight? Everybody treated it like it was playoff intensity. Jose Bautista got called out in the ninth inning because he got his cleats up and he got hit base runner interference. And everyone went nuts because the Blue Jays lost a game and they didn't know how to handle it properly. And it does still feel like fans are recalibrating a little bit as to how you watch a regular season game. Because, man, I was at the local watering hole yesterday and it was insane. Like, people were losing their minds over it. And I want to have fun. I'm down with as much exuberance as you can possibly have. But there's going to be a low at some point, and I hope that people at least expect a little bit of that coming.
All right there, Debbie Downer. No, why does there have to be a lull?
There will be a lull. Because
why can't they go 82-0? I don't understand. Explain how sports work.
Yeah, no, listen, you know what? Maybe you're right. As right now, you are on pace to be correct.
Absolutely. Don't ever forget it. I'm always on pace to be correct. No, I mean, I think fans in the city can be a little unreasonable, and they have every right to be. You know, constantly getting their hearts broken by a variety of sports teams. We were actually just talking on the podcast that we just recorded. Has this city ever really seen a guy like Austin Matthews in any sport? A homegrown guy with MVP potential. Mm-hmm. I know Donaldson got MVP. Wasn't the homegrown thing. I could have swore Vince Carter won an MVP.
No. Carlos Delgado is actually kind of close. He probably should have won an MVP award, but that team was lousy. So, yeah, the two things combining, the homegrown MVP guy and the team being good, yeah, maybe not.
It's something to get excited about. I mean, the Blackhawks for the longest time have been this monster, this kind of on a pedestal. They're the standard for talent. And Matthews went toe-to-toe with them yesterday and completely wiped the floor with them. I know it didn't look that way, and this wouldn't have been the story if the game stayed 3-1, but it didn't, did it?
No, it didn't. And I shouldn't have let you get off the hook that easily with the MVP Matthews comment, because there's no way Austin Matthews, as great as he is, and he is great, I mean, it's hard to imagine a scenario where he wins a Hart Trophy with Connor McDavid still in the league.
Yeah, no, and we brought that up too. That is the problem. It's kind of like a little bit in the 90s. Like, that, what was there, a 20-year period or something like that, where only four players won the Hart Trophy? Mm-hmm. It was Gretzky, Lemieux, Jager, Crosby, I think, something like that. Unbelievable. But maybe they'll invent an award that is the Hart except for McDavid Award.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's why Vince feels right. Like, Vince does feel like the apt comparison if you are gonna go with somebody that pretty much set the city on fire, that you hadn't seen before, that was homegrown, that maybe didn't get an MVP, but again was going up against really tough competition to get it. Because yeah, it is hard to envision Matthews getting that MVP. The only thing I would say about that too is I do hate the lack of. I know that Leaf fans love their guy, but there does seem to be this perception outside that Leaf fans either believe that he's too close to McDavid than he actually is, and they want acknowledgement that there's difference between the two players, or yeah, there's always that coming back down of, oh, as great as Matthews is, he's not McDavid. He's great. He's really, really good. He's really, really exciting. You probably wouldn't move off of him for anybody not named McDavid.
Well, and this is why I get frustrated. I the boys on the on the morning show out in Vancouver, you know, who I love, but they're talking about Leaf fans overvaluing their assets. I think that's the stereotype around the country, but in reality, like, Leaf fans are gun shy. Like, we're always, we're waiting for the failure. We're waiting to downplay our guy. Any excuse, you know, okay, we love Matthews. We love Masters. He's the best. Well, except for McDavid. No question. I mean, we're a gun shy bunch. That's why any sign of success, 3-0 start, people freak out a little bit, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, well, and there was reasons, I think, like, as small as they may have been, I thought there were even some reasons in the first couple of games to be a little bit gun-shy, that this was a little too close to the team of a season ago where no lead was safe and they still had trouble defending as a unit. And yesterday was the first time this season I thought, oh, man, and I think people outside of Toronto too, and maybe this is a little bit of overdoing it, but I can't help but feel it. I'm just being honest. That people for the first time this season through game three, yeah, they're not just talking about another step forward and winning a round. Like, they're like, man, this is maybe a top two team in the Eastern Conference. Like, this team could win a Stanley Cup in 2018. That's a thing.
Oh, buddy, don't get me that excited. I'm driving. This is dangerous. But, I mean, what reason is there that they can't compete? Like, what reason, really? Anything can happen. We saw it with Pittsburgh in the playoffs. I know that's the comparison, and it's silly, and no team is comparable to the other in reality, but why can't I dream? Why can't I dream? I think it's an even enough league these days where if you have health and you qualify for the postseason, you got a shot at that cup. Look at Nashville. I know they didn't win, but they almost did.
Yeah, I would even say, taking it a step further, like, look at Ottawa getting into the Eastern Conference Final. Like, that's a team that might bubble out this year. And they made it that deep. And I wouldn't think that any Leaf fan looks at those two rosters and says, yeah, I would swap with them. Like, I'd be willing to roll the dice on them over this Leafs team. That's one thing I would say that Leaf fans are probably going to have to put up with. And they have for a long time, which is like the plan, the parade joke, where anytime the Leafs would have any type of hopeful player or hopeful outlook on a season, that was kind of the go-to joke. And now it feels more realistic than ever that, yeah, that's within sight. And probably the barbs are going to come more so now than ever. And some people maybe would be a little bit hesitant because that's been the burn. That's been the rub, right? Everybody else that's been able to kind of take a shot has been validated or justified in that. And so you're kind of hesitant to put yourself out there as a fan and say, like, I actually believe in this and I'm going to put pretty much everything into this and then have it come back and bite you in the ass. But yeah, there is a different feel to this. And I don't know, I've been pretty happy so far. And I agree with your assessment of that is, I think Leaf fans do, for the most part, get a bad rap as a group when I think a lot more are pretty intelligent and have a greater grasp of their team than they get credit for.
Absolutely. I mean, they're smart sports fans in the city. And, you know, like any large group, there's going to be a couple dumb ones. But, hey, why not have stupid, silly hope? I love it. And the one thing I would say is, commit to it. Like, if you actually feel good about this team, but, you know, oh, they've burned you so many times in the past, commit to it. No, you are the Death Star. Embrace being the bad guy. Embrace being the heel of the NHL. Not everyone's going to like you. You are the big, bad powerhouse. Everyone's overhyping you. You got all the money. Screw it. Be Ric Flair. Woo!
Well,
all the way to the cup.
Yeah, JD was trying to tell me that people around this country did not hate the Maple Leafs going into the season. I don't know if your opinion has changed slightly.
My point was that in years past, the coverage of this team has been a little bit unjustified nationally. There have been a lot better teams, a lot better Canadian teams that have been overlooked, most notably the Ottawa Senators, who are also in Ontario, who have had a lot of success, who have had a lot of really good teams.
People in Ottawa don't care about that team, though.
Sure, and I guess that's part of the reason that they don't cover them very much.
Right.
I'm just saying that other teams out west look at the Leafs and say, why are you talking about these guys? They're not even going to make the playoffs, whereas this year, at least all the coverage, all the hype, if you're a hockey fan, if you look at it with the perspective of I hate the Maple Leafs from the jump, then yeah, nothing's going to change you. You just hate the Leafs. That's the way that it is. But if you're just a rational hockey fan and you look at it, you're saying, yeah, I can see why there's articles on Sportsnet.ca every day outlining the dominance of the Austin Matthews line.
Yeah, but point me in the direction of a rational sports fan.
Yeah.
And
that's not fun to be that
guy
either.
No, you know what? Yeah, I guess I just have a little bit more faith in people and humanity
Why is that a good thing? Wow. You're painting it like it's a good thing to be Jonah Carey when it comes to hockey, right? Like, ooh, the Leafs, we can talk about advanced stats and Corsi and whatever, and you can detach yourself. But that's the beauty of it, is that you can hate teams for irrational reasons. And I think there's a lot of irrational Leaf hate, and I think Leaf fans are embracing it more than ever.
Absolutely. Be the heel. It's fun to be the heel as long as you're wearing that belt. I bring in all the wrestling comparisons, but I think it's very apt. And I also feel validated that last week Ron McLean came on the podcast, and it turns out he grew up a wrestling fan, so I feel like less of a dork.
How did you do with that, by the way? I watched some clips. It was long. You kept him for a long amount of time. It was like over an hour.
Yeah, we had him for an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
When am I ever going to have that opportunity ever again? I badly wanted to, like, sit on his knee and tell him what I wanted for Christmas.
I
think I held it together. I held it together. He told good stories about grapes, about wrestling. He told a Lou Lamoriello story I've never heard before. I thought it was really good.
Did he mention me?
I do say so myself.
We're neighbors, you know.
He mentioned that he has a neighbor that he hates. He didn't say their name.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We all knew. We all knew who that was. So speaking of the actual on-ice product so far, yesterday Morgan Riley played terrific. He's been terrific through three games. It's been, I guess he's been one of the focal points of the offseason for me anyways, just in terms of, can this guy improve from last year? How hurt was he? How much will having a steady defensive partner play a factor in his improvement? So far, so good. Has he kind of tempered your desire to see the team move for another defenseman?
Not necessarily him. I do agree that he's looked good through the first few games. Ron Hainsey has been a pleasant surprise for me, too. But, I mean, the Leafs' signature is they have wicked offense. And their defenders, while not the greatest, they know how to move the puck. So, in that sense, they directly play into what makes the Leafs great. Jake Gardner has been fantastic through these first few games. Morgan Riley, too. Nikita Zaitsev's got a couple goals, and his first goal wasn't until December 17th last year, so he looks improved in that regard. And I'm interested to see how, I mean, Connor Carrick is still extremely young, and now he's banged up. Rosen just got here in the league. Who's not excited by Borgman?
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time the Leafs had, like, a true world-ruining Gronk back there who could just hit through you?
Polak.
I don't know about that.
Polak is like the scariest guy ever if you're going into the corner with him. He does not know his own strength. He might kill you.
He's the scariest guy ever if you're in a beard-growing competition. Otherwise, like, I mean, he's a strong dude. By all accounts, a nice guy. He was a decent penalty killer, but Borgman is frightening. He's got that young disregard for your well-being about him that I kind of like. I think the Leafs are seeing if they could, you know, kind of fix their own problems internally, which is always the cheapest option.
What did you think of that penalty call? Because I think I'm in the minority here that think it was actually I wouldn't have called it. I thought it was a close enough play that
it was late.
You didn't have to call it interference. I was fine with it. What did you think of it?
Yeah, that's one of those plays for, you know, as much as I rip on the refs this season for all the dainty little slashing calls and all that, that's one where I'm not envious of their position, because it was a clean hit, but what's interference when the guy doesn't have the puck? Well, the guy didn't have the puck. He was trying to have the puck.
Yeah.
So it's one of those ones where I don't blame Borgman for laying the hit, and I also don't blame the ref for making the call. It's, you know, ultimately you're going to have calls that could go both ways. And I think because it affected puck possession, that's probably why it got called.
Yeah,
and he kind of half killed him.
Yeah, he did kind of half kill him. I thought for a moment there, yes, to go back to another wrestling thing, I thought we were going to get a, my God, he killed him, he killed him. I thought that was basically going to be the call on that play. But yeah, the other part of that for Borgman too is, right, is he's expected to make those plays. That's why he has a spot on this roster, and he knows it.
The puck was in and around him.
Sure, but he knows that he's supposed to finish his checks and he's supposed to eliminate guys, and it didn't help that it was a smaller player. That's what I've – and like when I compare him to Polak, I just mean in terms of the physical presence. I think the reason, yeah, you really like Borgman is that he's not only providing you with some size and that physical element, that danger factor that you don't really have from anybody else, but yes, he's also competent with the puck. He can actually skate. He provides you something offensively. Like, you noticed him a few times in the game last night, and it hasn't been all for the wrong reasons, right? I think that's pretty much what you would have expected from him early is, yeah, you're going to notice this guy, and it's going to be because he's turning the puck over or he's making pretty glaring mistakes. So far, they've been pretty held to a minimum. I've been pretty pleased with that. I think that if you can be the Leafs and hit on one of these two guys that you brought over from Europe, you're pleased as punch. That's really all you need from this experiment. 50%. And you're good.
Absolutely. I mean, last year the Leafs were able to get a roster player for Brooks-like in Connor Carrick. And this year they get another roster player who's also a defenseman for nothing. Borgman, you know, he's in the words of Brian Burke, he's a found wallet. I don't know if that's the best term for it. But, you know, he almost got his first goal last night. We know he's a big physical presence. And he was also SHL Rookie of the Year over in Sweden. Go ahead and Google the list of the last, like, 15 SHL Rookie of the Years. It's a who's who of Swedish players in the National Hockey League, Henrik Zetterberg being one of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited for this guy, and his first three games of, well, I guess two games, have validated that excitement.
Yeah, as far as finding a wallet, if you find a wallet, you're going to do your darndest to return it, Steve. Like, be on record that that's what you're going to do.
Sure.
Steve Dangle joins us. Steve Dangle podcast. It is a good show. Ben Ennis, JD Bunkus. So we're going to have Connor Brown on in about 20 minutes time, 15 minutes time, Steve. And he is, we know how much Mike Babcock loves him and Zach Hyman. And the Hyman stuff was people were pushing back more than Brown. Brown scored 20 goals last year, but Hyman, yeah, he looks like a different offensive player. Brown might, you know, he's turning into, I feel like, a fan favorite here all of a sudden. Obviously not on the same level as an Austin Matthews or one of the elite offensive guys, but he is so valuable to this team, and they can't keep him off the ice.
No, and I knew this problem was going to solve itself. And I mean, Connor Brown is exactly the kind of player who is going to prove that he shouldn't be on the fourth line, because he did it last year. Guy barely made the team, started on the fourth line, had a pretty decent first five games, and just built from there. I think he's going to do it again this year. I see a lot of people freaking out about, oh, he shouldn't be on the fourth line. Well, I mean, because of the new rule changes, there's barely any five-on-five hockey to be played anyway. Yeah. So the guy's on the power play. The guy's killing penalties. I would love to know his ice time compared to his peers. I guarantee he doesn't look like a fourth-line player based on his ice time. Connor Brown's the real deal downtown. I think he might be in for another 20-goal year. You never know.
Hey, Steve, thanks for this, pal. I hope you get to where you need to go. Hope Bloor Street traffic clears up for you.
Oh, I've graduated from slow Bloor traffic to slow DVP traffic. So thank you.
Spectacular. Mm. JD can't drive, so he can't relate. Thanks, Steve.
See you, buddy.
Yeah.
Steve Dangle. Steve Dangle podcast. Maple Leafs 3-0. They're very good.
They are.
Our next guest was quite good yesterday. He's been quite good all season long. Connor Brown,
okay.
2 points
he's
yesterday.
He's all right.
Joins us online right now. Hey, Connor.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for doing this. We're going to start with your Twitter account, which, by the way, you haven't tweeted since August, so you need to get back on that. But at Breeze to Grease, what's that about?
Yeah.
What's that name about?
I don't. To be honest, I don't know. Grease is like a slang word for cool.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, and the guy's Grease or something like that, and then my buddies in high school used to call me Breezy. So. I think I made it in grade 9 or something, and I just kind of stuck with it.
Hey, listen, kudos to you for not changing it, though. You didn't have to be a coward like Nylander going away from Snizbone. Everybody loves Snizbone.
My guns.
Yeah, you're just like, yeah, listen, I holstered it in. You're like the guy who still has a Hotmail account. Me. who still uses it is like, listen, I'm not betraying Hotmail. It was my go-to. It's where I have all my contacts. I'm not leaving it. People know my address there, even if it is bad. I do like Breeze to Grease, even though it did make me feel a little uncool today, having to ask around the newsroom what Grease was. And yeah, one of our guys, Brent Gunning, told me that what Grease was.
But yeah, I do that? Okay.
So yeah, yeah. Somebody filled me in, and then I was going to pretend like I knew what it was the whole time, and I just figured I'd just change that up. But yeah, so far so good, right? So start to the season, because it's been a lot of minutes. Did you kind of have, I mean, you probably knew better than everybody what the role was going to be like, right? That you were going to come in and you were still going to see major minutes regardless of where you were playing on a line.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I had conversations with the coaching staff, and you know, and they said that I'm going to play more than I think. And so it's been good. You know, I think we're a really deep team, and that's our strength. And so, you know, as long as we're successful, which we have been, it's been going well.
I'm so impressed by professional athletes that are able to keep their cool, or at least seemingly are, in situations like yesterday. Because you should have, I'm sure you saw the Leaf fans in attendance yesterday, but Leaf fans across this area in bars were just losing their cool in a regular season game, like game three of the regular season. it's a point. You already had one in the bag, but people are losing their minds. But everybody, post-game yesterday, Austin Matthews included, yeah, okay, no big deal, ho-hum. Did it feel that way, that game yesterday, that it was just game three? Because people who watched that, fans in particular, felt like it was kind of a statement game.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it was a big game for us. Yeah, I think we knew that, but I think from where we differ from last year is we expect to win those games every night. We come in and we expect to win. So, you know, I think that's the mindset we have in our room. And so, you know, as exciting as the game it was, you know, we believe in each other in that room. So it's just about on to the next one.
But you must bleed into your life a little bit more, though, being a guy that's from here, that you hear more from family and friends about the excitement from around the team. Even a guy like yourself, like you were invested in them growing up, so there just has to be more of that chatter. You're probably closer to it than, say, someone who can eliminate themselves from it a little bit easier.
Yeah, for sure. And just all the text messages I receive. I mean, I had a 30 or so after the game yesterday, just, you know, friends and family just all watching the game, very excited. And so I get a sense for it, I think, better than some guys do, and, you know, how really invested and how, you know, emotional all the fans are and how excited really everyone is. And, you know, I think we have the same type of excitement in our locker room as well.
Yeah. And I imagine, like, how often do you have to change the phone number?
Yeah. I've kept her so far. So.
You kept it? Wow, that's quite the accomplishment. I would just imagine that you just get so many from different people. Like, what's the average game in terms of asks for tickets?
Oh, I don't know. It's actually not bad. Friends and family are pretty good amongst that. They let me go about my business, and they kind of understand that, you know, the whole thing, and we don't step over their boundaries. And, you know, but it, here and there, not bad though.
Yeah, because I imagine with, like, the Irish background, you had, like, a whole bunch of cousins you didn't know about all of a sudden when you cracked the Leafs roster, being like, hey, cuz, let me get some tickets, buddy.
Not quite.
Yeah, we can't keep doing this, can we? Can Leaf fans continue to be as invested in, like, these seeming, like, not even in-division regular season games? Like, midweek, Wednesday against the New Jersey Devils, Leaf fans are still in that mode of every single moment is super crucial to this team. It's not always going to be as good as it's been the first three games.
Yeah, I think, well, it's fun. That makes it a lot of fun when, you know, we're excited, the fans are excited, and it just makes for just a great atmosphere amongst the whole city. So, I mean, we really love it when, you know, the fans show up like that, and, you know, they're on the edge of their seat the whole game, and it makes playing at home, you know, such an advantage.
I read that you spent the summer working on a lot of offense with Zach Hyman and Josh Levo, and the three of you guys spent a lot of time on the ice together. Is there one thing in particular that when you're watching Zach's success so far this year, because he's been a bit of a polarizing guy in the city, and so far it's tough to dislike what you've seen, and there does seem to be a little bit of improvement, even if it's a small sample size. Like, is there something about him that you've really noticed that you look at and you say, that's what's different about Zach now, that's what he improved in the summer?
Well, I don't know if it's anything that he would have. Yeah, you know, I think he did. He worked on the shot a lot this summer. You know, me and him, and Josh were in there. We were trying. That was a main focus we had. But for Zach, I feel like he's had a lot of the skill on. You know, just the confidence of being in your second year. You know, just having that contract and knowing. You know, he's here and he's a big part of our team. Just the confidence sets in, and I think he. You know. It gives you that confidence to make plays, and I think that's what we've seen.
Is that how it works for you then as well?
A little bit, yeah, I think so. For me, I haven't really noticed that in a sense, but I think that's just what I've noticed through Zach. Just, you know, I've seen him make so many plays, and, you know, he had a couple of breakaways already and a couple of goals. So, you know, he just seems to be making plays and comfortable, and you know, I skate with him all summer, so I know what his skill level is like, and you know, it's good to see him having success.
Yeah, so you guys, I mean, it was a very loose couple of games to open up the season and kind of like freakish in nature that nobody could have expected the regular season to go in that manner. And yesterday felt more like a normal regular season NHL game, but also just better, you know, two ways in limiting the opposition as far as opportunities in your own end of the ice. How much do you feel like it's a departure from, especially the Saturday game against the Rangers, blowing that lead against New York, that was a step in the right direction as far as, you know, just a 200-foot game yesterday?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for us. You know, the better we defend, the more games we'll win. I think we believe in our ability to score. I think, you know, our power play's been good. You know, as much time as we can spend in the ozone and away from our net is going to be beneficial for us. So that's what we've been focusing on recently is just trying to be responsible without the puck.
So we're all blown away by Austin Matthews and the accuracy on that overtime shot. But I'm sure, you know, you guys see it daily in practice. Is there anything that surprises you with that guy, what he can do offensively?
No, nothing really at this point surprises me. You know, the way he picks up passes and his feet, and just, you know, these things you marvel at. And, you know, he's an extremely, extremely skilled player. You know, we're happy to have him on our side.
Do you think that it's a bit of, like, steel or what is it? Steel sharpens steel or whatever that. What the hell is that saying?
I don't know.
I'm missing out on this. This is wrong. But iron sharpens iron. No, it's not it either. Whatever. You have a bunch of guys around you that are also really skilled players. And I'm guessing that probably helps a little bit in terms of how you improve as a player, right? Having all that competition constantly around you. Like, you even look at that Marlies team and it's loaded.
Yep. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, the in-house competition, day in, day out, even, you know, whether it's competing against each other or just practicing with each other, you know, having, you know, a bunch of skilled players at practice, making each other better day in, day out, it helps a lot for sure.
It's got to be a little bit weird for you, though, knowing that you are kind of this one, like Ben mentioned the idea that the team needs to play a little bit better defensively. And that's kind of the one thing that everybody looks at and says, oh, yeah, we know they can score, but are they going to be able to protect the lead? And yet, you know, you're a young player. You're very new to this league still, and yet you're kind of one of the focal point guys in terms of, hey, we need to shut this thing down. We need someone that's got a reliable 200-foot game, someone that's versatile and can also put the puck in the net. Like, you're kind of becoming the face of that.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always tried to pride myself on both sides of the puck, and, you know, you want to give yourself as many assets as possible, you know, getting in the NHL, and so that's what I tried to be sharp away from the puck as much as possible.
You're also one of the guys that Mike Babcock speaks the most glowingly about. Do you ever get grief about that?
No, there's no way after the Matt. There's no way after the Matt Martin stuff. Like, you might
he's
as
just
well have killed
person.
Him. He's a great man. He's a great
person. I don't know. I don't really watch the interviews as much, so I don't know. I don't really know what is being said.
We have a lot of fun listening to Babcock.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't hear Saturday's post game comments?
No, I didn't watch that one back.
Oh yeah, he said it's fun to play that way, but it's dumb. Yes,
which it was great too, because all the media guys laughed along as he said it's fun, and everyone just but it's dumb, and then everybody completely shut down and listened to the rest of the conference. It's great. So we were looking, like, just today when we were just quickly putting together some research, we found out that you're coming on through you in the Google, and one of the first pictures that comes up is one of your Erie Otters headshots with just like the glorious flow. Like, how did you ever cut that? I know you're like, you got the good style going on right now, but that was truly glorious.
I don't know why I ever thought that was a good idea.
No, what are you doing? Grow it back out. What's happening there? Like, do you know the picture I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, I know the era you're talking
about. Yeah, but there's so one in particular. There's one in particular. It's like an otter's headshot, and it is, yeah, it looks like that.
I think that might have been my rookie year in Erie. I think I look about 12, too.
Yeah, you don't look very old.
Well, right now you don't look very old. Yeah, and you're quickly rising up the ranks as the greatest red-haired sports celebrities in this city. I think Matt Bonner probably holding it down right now. I don't know how into the Raptors you were.
Sorry, bud, but if you go into a restaurant and there's one table, I think Matt Bonner still gets it.
You think?
I think all so. Right. Come on, you don't think
something
so?
To strive for.
You got to ride
something
this. You know what you got to do? You got to ride the subway. That's the way to the people's heart. Ride the subway to practice or to work, and then tweet it out, and then just be like, "Look, I'm just like Matt Bonner, riding the subway, riding the Red Rocket."
Yeah. Something to think about.
Hey, Connor, we really appreciate the time. Thanks for this, pal.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Cheers, pal.
This is Connor Brown, Toronto Maple Leafs forward.